More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, pandemonium! Is family life caught up in chaos or conflict? Let us help. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, pandemonium! We're talking about those times when family life is caught up in chaos and conflict, whether that's the family under your roof or your extended family. We want to help you bring healing to your family relationships. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And you know, God really does call us to work on our families first and foremost as our ministry, because we need to bring peace and love and faith into our family life. And as you were saying, Greg, whether that's the people right under our roof or the greater family situation. So we're asking today, is conflict or chaos undermining the peace and the unity in your family? Is there that argument that you and your spouse keep having over and over again? Is it your kids' behavior or their constant bickering with each other that's driving you crazy? Is there tension between you and your adult kids? Or are you wondering how to deal with the drama with your parenting or with your parents or your extended family? Let us help you find the insights, the tools, and the grace you need to experience the family life that God truly wants for you.
877-573-7825. You know, and I'll be honest, I mean, I think that it's tempting to just sort of accept the way things are in your family. And when I say your family, again, I mean both your marriage and your kids, but also your extended family. And just sort of say, well, you know, this is the way my family is. But as Christians, we're really called to do more, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I just want to start the show by asking you all, especially in this season, to reflect on how God might be wanting to work through you to be a blessing in your family, to heal your marriage, to close the gaps between you and your spouse, to bring greater peace between you and your kids, to find ways to be an instrument of grace in your larger family relationships, because that really is, as you were saying, Lisa, the primary way that we build the kingdom of God. Which is kind of surprising for a lot of us. We think that building the kingdom of God means going out and doing great things in the world. And it doesn't not mean that. But that's kind of secondary. Because our relationships to our spouse and our kids and our extended family, first of all, those marriage and family relationships are sacramental. And the extended family relationships are more personal. They are within our sphere of influence.
Yeah, it's the territory that God's given us. You know, it is the territory that God has given us. And if we think in terms of territories, even during biblical times, that's what you're supposed to tend. That's what you're supposed to help grow and help it flourish. That's what you're supposed to protect. And that's what our families are, and that's truly what our calling is. But, oh my goodness, I think because of that, Satan really goes after it. And I think one of the things he's told us all, one of the big lies he's told us all, is family just has to accept you for who you are. So you are polite. You extend yourself in ways that you consider good and right and holy to the rest of the world. And then you get with your family, whether it's coming home at the end of the day or that phone call, you know, with your parents or siblings or whatever that is, and you can be yourself, which means being a jerk. You know,
being the worst version of me.
Right. Yeah, I don't have to really take care of anybody's feelings. I can just let my grumpiness out. I can take all the stress that I'm having and let it make me respond in a clipped and nasty way. I can take my exhaustion and say, no, I really don't want to do that thing for you right now because I'm tired. Whereas if our boss asked us to do it, or the bishop asked us to do it, we would be right on it. We'd pull up the energy. And mm-hmm. Yeah, good word. And so today we're really looking at what are those things that are causing conflict in your family life or extended family life that's keeping you from being your best self, keeping you from feeling God's peace in those relationships, keeping you in a place where you just kind of roll your eyes when you think about dealing with it. Let us help you get the tools, the insights, and the grace you need to experience the family life God wants for you. Here today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be wondering, well, you know, can some theology help me handle family conflict? Well, it turns out it can actually do quite a lot. Because when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading an abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships, especially healthy, holy marriage and family relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that the family is God's original small faith group. It would be more than enough if the family was just the building block of civilization and the church. But more than that, it's the primary, irreplaceable school where we're meant to experience how much God loves us and learn to share that love with others.
You know, the love that God wants his families to celebrate is very different from the broken human love that comes naturally to us. Christian families are called to live out the generous, free, total, faithful, fruitful love that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Think of it as the difference between a campfire and, well, the sun.
That's a big difference, Greg.
Right? Yeah. Well, human love flickers and fades, but Trinitarian love is the source of all warmth and light. And unfortunately, that can be a very different reality than most of us experience in our families. Unfortunately, rather than being a school of love and virtue, our families are often where our ability to love gets damaged, where we learn to take each other for granted or treat one another with casual disregard or even contempt.
But the theology of the body reminds us not to accept this very sad reality. Wherever possible, we're called to do what's reasonably in our power to heal our family relationships, particularly with our own spouse and children, so they can do what God created them to do, be the place where we experience what it means to be beloved sons and daughters of God, and learn to share that love responsibly with others.
So, working to heal family conflict and address the wounds that divide us, especially that divide husbands and wives, parents and kids, is the most important contribution a Christian disciple can make to building the kingdom. And you know, it's not easy work, but the reward is great. In fact, Scripture in Exodus 26 and other places as well promises that the faithful families who do this work will pass down God's blessing for 1,000 generations. That's a mission
profound.
Worth fighting for.
And I think that, you know, as we're talking about, you know, the difference here between, you know, the sun and that, you know, that little
campfire.
You know, that some of us feel like in our family situations, there's like one glowing ember left in that campfire, and we're blowing on it, and we're trying to do everything we can to reignite it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need a little help to figure out how to put new wood on the fire, how to really ignite it again, and how to bring that warmth back into those relationships for you, for your family life, and for the sake of God himself. So let's work on that together today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And tell us if conflict and chaos are undermining the peace and unity in your family. If there's that argument that you and your spouse keep having over and over, or your kids' behavior or their constant bickering with each other is driving you crazy, or if you've got tension between you and your adult kids, or you're wondering how to deal with drama with your parents or extended family, we're going to help you find the insights, tools, and grace you need to experience the family life God wants to give you. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord and start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father,
and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you our families, that often forgotten mission field that you remind us through your servant, St. John Paul, is our primary mission field, the place that we can do the most good in building your kingdom. But it's also sometimes the hardest, Lord, and so we bring those conflicts, those tensions, those difficulties that we experience with our spouse, with our kids, with our extended family, to you right now, and we ask you for the grace to know what you want us to do about those challenges and to walk us through step by step how to address those problems so that we can do just a little more every day to live out the love that you have in your heart within our families. Help us to build your kingdom by bringing that love into our homes so that the whole world can see the power of your love and grace working through broken people like us to be able to create loving, caring, connected Catholic households and families. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Holy Family, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, pandemonium, as we talk about family life and the challenges that families face and all the ways we get caught up in conflict and chaos. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Edie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Edie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. So my question relates to my younger brother and his girlfriend. About okay. 8 months ago, they told me and my family that they were expecting a child together. And at this time, they had only been dating for about 8 weeks, so it kind of came as a shock to all of us. Throughout this process, more towards the beginning of their relationship, his girlfriend had lied to all of us about basically who she was. So we didn't really figure out who she was.
About who she was. I'm sorry.
Can you explain that a little bit? I realize you might want to not divulge too much, but we really kind of need to understand what she did here.
Yeah, so she lied about her home life situation. She told my parents she was homeless when, in fact, she was not homeless. She lied a lot about her mother, and we found out later that the things that she said were not true about her mom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so my question is, I don't know how to proceed in a relationship with her because I feel like she's trying with me now and she's trying to mm-hmm. reach out to me more now, but there hasn't been like an apology or any remorse from her about it.
Can I ask, so your brother was aware of all of this, I'm guessing, right? She didn't lie to him, did he?
I think she was to a degree, but I'm not sure to what degree that was. My brother has been very loving throughout the situation. He's come to me and my family and tried to make things right, and we're in a good place with him. I guess I'm just not in a good place with his girlfriend, and I don't know how to make it work with her because I feel a lot of resentment and anger.
So, and I can understand that, of course. I guess the question is when we're trying to figure out how to rebuild a relationship, right? What we really want to look at is where we can trust someone and where we can't trust someone. And obviously not put a person in a position where they can't handle themselves well, but also not paint a person with that same brush in every part of the relationship, right? You know, so for example, if she had told you, oh yeah, I will show up to help you with us and such, and then she didn't show up, you couldn't trust her to follow through on promises to, you know, to do things for you. But you might be able to trust her to get together for dinner, right? And so the same thing is here. Like, she lied to the whole family about, you know, what was going on, and I don't understand what the motivation for that was. And I think it would be okay for you to ask about that and to say, you know, look, hey, I appreciate you making the effort to kind of reach out. Can you help me understand what that was all about? Like, I just don't really get what the motivation was. You know, I just want to really understand, because the natural tendency is for us to want to condemn or criticize, but the first step really is to reach out to a person with curiosity and compassion and to say, you know, I feel like you must have been under a lot of pressure in some way to say all that stuff. I'd just really like to understand where you're coming from, because I'm grateful that you're making this effort, and I'd like us to have a better relationship moving forward, but I just need to understand better. Because by asking those questions, then that gets you to what I was saying in the first place. That lets you understand what are the situations where she can handle herself. Because when she explains to you, well, you know, this is why I said it, not that justifies it, but it lets you know that under those kinds of pressures, you can't really trust her. Whereas under other situations, she is more trustworthy. Or, you know, you can also look to see, you know, as you build a relationship with her, if she handles herself better in those kinds of situations, which then would allow you to let her into your heart in those ways too. But, you know, having a healthy boundary doesn't mean shutting somebody out entirely. It means giving them a healthy way to access you, while walling off the parts of the relationship that aren't safe, that are still under construction, so to speak, right? You know, if you're walking on a construction site, there are some parts that are safe to walk on and some parts that aren't. And the parts that aren't, you have, you know, tape across it or some kind of a boundary or whatever. That doesn't mean that you're never going to go there. It just means that right now it's not safe to be there. And the same thing is true in a relationship that's under construction, like your relationship with your brother's girlfriend. You know, she did some damage, you know, and now that part is going to be walled off. But you're trying to figure out where is it safe to be in relationship with her. And a lot of that can go to just saying to her, hey, look, you know, I really do appreciate you reaching out now. I'd like to have a better relationship with you, but can you really just help me understand what that was all about? Like, I'm not mad per se. I just really like to understand why you felt like that was the best course at the time.
And I feel like if I could understand what the motivation was, then we could, you know, break through some of that concern that I have and really begin to build a better relationship. So it's about approaching her in that way. It's also about guarding your heart as you move forward. So trying to build that relationship, but not throwing open wide the doors of your heart so much that you stop being prudent about, you know, kind of analyzing, does this all make sense? Is she being an authentic person? Is she taking good care of my brother's heart? Just sort of having that running in the back of your mind while you attempt to build the relationship by asking that question gently, as respectfully as you can, but, you know, letting it be there.
So, Edie, start with that. If you'd like more information on how to, you know, set boundaries that allow relationships to heal and make reconciliation possible while protecting yourself from the drama, our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, can be a good resource for you. But I do think you'll be able to run with the suggestions we've made here on the call, and I want to thank you for the question. If there's more, if you try this out and something happens, let us know how it's going, and we'd be happy to coach you through those next steps. But we appreciate you reaching out today. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Pandemonium, as we talk about all the ways that family life can get caught up in conflict and chaos. If you are having that regular argument with your spouse, or your kids' behavior, or their constant bickering is driving you crazy, if there's tension between you and your adult kids, or you're wondering how to deal with drama with your parents or your extended family, let us help you find the insights, tools, and grace you need to experience the family life that God has for you. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break. Feeling worn out, overwhelmed, or just plain tired of feeling tired as a parent? Well, you're not alone. Parenting can drain even the most faithful moms and dads, especially at this time of year.
Join us, Dr. Craig and Lisa Popcheck, for a free Ave Maria Radio webinar, Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout, on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Get practical, faith-filled tools to recharge your batteries and rediscover the joy of raising Catholic kids. Register now at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. You doing okay there?
Yeah, I thought I was. Hopefully still up.
It happens to the best of us. And we are here. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Pandemonium, as we talk about how our families can really get caught up in chaos and conflict. And we want to help you experience more peace and unity and love in your home and your extended family as well. If there's something getting in the way of all that happening, give us a call at 877-573-7825. You know, one of the challenges we face in trying to bring healing to our marriage and family life is not having a blueprint for how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, there is a blueprint now. In fact, so we, in 2019, we hosted a symposium at Notre Dame that had theologians, social scientists, and pastoral ministry folks coming together to really unpack what does it mean to heal and renew Catholic family life. And then we did a study through Georgetown that looked at Catholic families who experienced greater than average closeness and who successfully raised all of their children to a faithful adulthood. That's compared to 90% of Catholic kids who are raised in Catholic households who leave the church before they become adults. We identified 12 habits that those families have in common and that are also consistent in all the other research that was presented at the symposium as well. And we teach those 12 habits as a blueprint for living God's plan for building a more loving, caring, and connected family life on the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M. It's spelled, excuse me, it stands for Households on Mission. And on the app, it's not just information. We actually accompany families, just like you, with experts who can provide daily coaching in parenting, in marriage, even help for grandparents and parents of adult kids as well to really rebuild those relationships and strengthen those home lives so that we can all celebrate the loving, caring, connected family lives that God wants for us. In fact, this week's deeper dive discussion on the Catholic Home app is all about how we can experience God's healing in our homes and use that Liturgy of Domestic Church Life framework, those 12 habits we identified, as a blueprint for healing our families. So in addition to the coaching, you can get tons of creative resources like exclusive podcast content, monthly downloadable activities, like this month our Lenten Family Pack.
Yeah.
You can check out monthly live Q&As with Lisa and I to share your struggles and your stories and your successes. Get support from other family members. As I already mentioned, we have a weekly deeper dive discussion. So tons of resources and coaching to get the help that you need and the information that you need to heal your family, and to make it a stronger, more loving, caring, connected household on mission.
Well, so many of us are exhausted, and we're dealing with the chaos of family life, and we kind of think, Lord, just show me how to do this and I'll do it, but I can't think straight to figure out how to do it right now. And so that is what the Catholic HOM app is all about. It gives you a plan. It gives you all sorts of great things to be able to do. As you said, Greg, right now, the downloadable is all about having a successful Lent as a family with your kids, including a family examine that you can use and other incredible ideas to make Lent meaningful to everyone without it being something that's painful or that age appropriate or something that, you know, each one's doing alone but not together.
And that helps your family draw closer to each other.
That's right.
Because of the things that you're doing through Lent, so that by Easter you can have a more loving, caring, and connected Catholic family life. You download the Catholic Home app and you can become a subscriber. It's only $149 for the year, that's 2 months free, or $14.95 a month to get all the coaching and creative resources you need to build that more loving, caring Catholic family life. Get your Catholic Home app, that's Catholic HOM for Households on Mission, wherever you get your apps, and get the support that you need to start building that loving family life and healing your marriage and family life as well. As I mentioned, it's not just for parents, it's for couples as well as parents of adult kids to get all the support you need. So check it out, Catholic Home, H-O-M. We're taking your calls right now about family healing, though, on our show titled Pandemonium, as we talk about all the ways that family life gets caught up in chaos and conflict. If you and your spouse are having that same argument over and over again, whether it's, you know, constant or more like under the surface all the time, but just rears its ugly head once in a while, or if you and your kids are kind of at odds and you're not sure how to handle that behavior issue or stop their bickering with each other, or you've got tension with your adult kids or drama with your extended family, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to bring God's love and peace to your family relationships when More to Life continues after the break.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Why is prayer a battle? Prayer is both a gift of grace and a determined response on our part, the Catholic Catechism tells us. It takes effort. Who is the battle against? Against ourselves and against the devil, who does all he can to turn us away from prayer and God and union with God. If we do not live habitually according to the Spirit of Christ, we cannot pray habitually in His name. We pray as we live, says the Catechism, and we live as we pray. One of the most universal difficulties in prayer is distraction. The simple and most effective answer to distraction is to turn back to our heart, for distraction reveals to what we are attached. This humble awareness can prompt us to offer our hearts to the Lord for purification. This is Peggy Stanton, and this is the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Stephen Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the Rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Raising kids is hard. We all do our best, and we all fear that we failed in some way. Especially when our relationship with our adult kids isn't what we wish it was, it's easy to give in to self-recrimination. Blame, especially self-blame, accomplishes nothing except fostering the feeling that we're stuck and powerless. Rather than ruminating about past mistakes, Put your energy in what needs to happen to make your relationship stronger today. Look for opportunities to create a stronger connection with your adult kids. Seek out ways to build trust. Take the initiative. Of course, you need to respect your adult children's boundaries, but let them know that you have no intention of giving up on them and that you're willing to have whatever relationship they're willing to build with you. Start from that point and build from there. Want more tips for strengthening your relationship with your adult kids? Check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Pandemonium, as we talk about all the ways that conflict and chaos can undermine the peace and love and connection in our family lives under our own roof, as well as our extended family lives. 877-573-7825. Join the conversation. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey, Marie, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. Good morning. I just want to let you know, I have to fill you in with a little background information so you can see the picture, because I feel so blameless about this and why.
Okay.
My husband's family is very, for lack of a better term, I'll say clannish. But that's okay. I get along, or so I thought, very well with them. I've bent over backwards over the years, and they tease me, you know, that I'm so good with my husband that nobody else would have him. You know, we just kind of joke. And okay. He had a long illness where I was, you know, very involved, and they thank me, and they get tears in their eyes. They send me beautiful cards for holidays and birthdays. You know, it's like this is a total shock to me, although I've always known in the end, something would happen between my husband and I, they probably wouldn't be my friends anymore. But I enjoyed their company. So every year we vacation together as a family, and we rent a big house. Very, very expensive. But we divide it up in a way that works out for us. It doesn't matter the details. But if we don't go, it's going to mess up the entire balance. Well, every year when they started going, they asked me we need to be gone during my anniversary, which I was fine with that because we've been married a long time, and we can celebrate a different night. It keeps everyone together. Some people are in the automotive industry, so they have to take that specific week off. But I've always said I have to keep 4th of July special for something else I do that involves my family's mental health.
Okay.
So last year they said, this one year, just this one time, will you please go away 4th of July, because it's the only time we can rent a house that's big enough with the bathrooms in the area we were going. So I'm one of those people usually, okay, I'll go along. But it meant giving up seeing other people that we kind of don't get together much once a year, 4th of July. So I said, this year I'll do it, but not next year. Well, it worked out better for people, and they just went ahead and booked the big house, which is hard to find. It suits us for the 4th of July. Well, here's what actually happened. You know, I would try to talk rationally. I was kind of shocked, and I told my husband, was a married
I'm going to need to skip ahead to your question here because we're running out of time. So go ahead.
Sorry. Well, the problem came, they booked it anyway, knowing that it will really not work out for my family. And
right.
Without
Got that.
Knowing, everyone's plans are ruined. But here's the problem. We were at a public area, you know, for a dinner. A little bit of wine was involved. I wasn't drinking. I don't like wine. And just, you know, I got confronted out of nowhere by my husband's family in a public place, and they start yelling and screaming at me. It was loud enough that I was confused. I thought someone fell down, like, oh, you know, mini emergency. Next thing,
so where does it all stand now? They flipped out because you didn't go along with the plan for the first time in history. So what's your question today about how you're dealing with all of this?
If my husband does not go, my plans don't go anyway. It's all families, and it wouldn't work out. The distance, the people, all of that. It'd be silly to go myself. And he's saying, oh, well, they were yelling at me, I'm putting family back behind friends and blah, blah, blah. Whichever holiday, I think.
So wait, your husband is saying that he wants you to go to his family and ignore the plans you had for the 4th of July.
Oh,
is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, my feeling's too bad. So
or else what?
He's the head of the house and yada, yada.
No, he's not. No. So let's unpack all that. All right. So Christ is the head of the home. All right. In fact, I have a couple of reels. If you should follow us on Instagram, I did a series of on headship and what headship really means in Catholic households. Christ is the head of the home. Ephesians 5:21 says, defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. Being the head of the household, though, as a husband, all that, what that means, it's the husband is the head of the home the way the priest is the head at Mass. He celebrates the liturgy that enables the congregation to draw it closer together and encounter God. And so it's the husband's job to facilitate the prayer in the household, the rituals that draw our family closer together, the practices that I was just talking about, we were just talking about in the last segment, that make up this liturgy of domestic church life. That's how the husband is the head of the home. He's not the boss. He's not the person who gets to tell everybody what to do. He's the person who facilitates the process by which we prayerfully discern God's will for our family. And anytime a husband tries to step out of that role and starts to be the little dictator in the home, he's making himself a god, a pagan idol, and he loses his authority.
On top of that, when he married you, and he committed to the sacrament of matrimony with you, he did what Scripture, or he was supposed to have done, what Scripture told him to do, which is leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. He's choosing to make his family of origin and their hissy fit more important than your needs and your desires to do what you've been doing as a tradition for years. So this whole thing is getting out of order. And you're not praying about any of this together. You're, both of you are just kind of making decisions out of what feels like the right thing to do. And that's no way to make a decision in marriage, because it's not consulting what God wants you to be doing.
So, this might even be a different story if you had not told the family that you were not available at this time.
Right.
But you've made it clear for 2 years in a row, and you also accommodated them the first time. And then said, but next year I won't be able to do that. And then they took advantage of you. I think it's important to set the boundary there and say, look, I'm sorry that you guys made those plans. I told you I wasn't available. Then I need you to keep that in mind for the future. Because you're allowed to exist as a person, and you're allowed to have needs, and your husband needs to respect those needs as well. Because God speaks to us. So here's it. God speaks to us through the needs he's placed on our spouse's heart. And what is God saying to your husband through the needs he's placed in your heart in this particular instance? He's saying, husband, I need you to love your wife more than you love your family. And that's been a struggle for you. And this is an opportunity for you to do that. Again, I do think that you guys need to pray about it, as Lisa was saying. Absolutely. And asking, how does God want you guys to handle this? But I do think that also in this situation, you need to hold to your boundary, because you did convey this to your family, to your extended family twice over 2 years. And this was not just for them to unload on you like that.
And I will ask you, when you pray about it, don't just pray, Lord, is my husband's idea or my idea the one we should go with? Because, Marie, underneath all this, I heard you guys just moved your anniversary every year, because this is when the family had to go. And to a point, that's fine. You know, Greg and I often move Valentine's Day, because in doing what we do, we work many, many Valentine's Days. This Valentine's Day, we were working the Good News Cruise, and we were thrilled to do it. But in a few weeks, we will take a weekend to ourselves. And if you're really doing that, great. But if it's been, we'll do these people on this day and this family on that date and move our... maybe God is really saying here, enough is enough with all the other people. It's time to focus on your marriage and your unity and your love and working on that. So I'm just proposing that may be one of the things that God draws out when you take this to prayer together. So I would go to your husband today. I mean, first of all, you can download the podcast and let him listen to this.
I'd really encourage you to do that, actually. Let us bear this news to him, and then you guys can pray about it from
there. And clarify it really well. But then say to him, look, I cared enough about us, our relationship, to call in to More to Life today. This is what I was told. And so I really want to not just react to our situation, but to come together, the two of us, and really pray about how we can grow closer to each other and what we should be doing about this particular situation.
Let's seek God's guidance for how we can prioritize our sacramental covenantal relationship while still being respectful to your family. But how God might want us to set some boundaries here that we've not set before that would allow us to be more of the couple he's calling us to be, and for us to really attend to each other's needs more seriously instead of constantly jumping through their hoops. So, Marie, I thank you for the call. We talk more about this in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. We also talk about how to pray through these kinds of things in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. Both of those are available at CatholicCounselors.com. But I really do think that this is an opportunity for you both to really hear what God is saying to each of you through your hearts, and for you to prioritize your sacrament in ways that you've not been able to do previously. Again, download the podcast later on today. Play it for your husband and let that be a kind of a springboard for a deeper, more effective discussion. And if there's more that we can do for you once that's happened, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to walk you through those next steps of navigating not just this particular issue, but the way you prioritize your own marriage in light of his family. Thanks again for the call. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about family life and the chaos and conflict that often gets in the way, whether it's under our own roof or extended family. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 127, verse 1.
And we picked these scriptures way ahead of the show, and boy, did God put it in exactly the right place at the right time, because I think this speaks specifically to Marie's situation and to all of us. Again, Psalm 127, 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain.
And this goes really to the idea of asking God every day as a couple, as a family, Lord, teach us to be the couple you want us to be. Lord, teach us to be the family that you want us to be, because we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to build a godly family. We don't know how to build a godly marriage. And you can have a family with Christians in it, but you can't have a Christian family unless you're praying together every day and asking God what his plan is for your lives and how you can live it today. So Psalm 127:1, reminding us that unless the Lord's building your house, you're laboring in vain. But if God is building your house, look out, world, because that love that you're experiencing and the life that he leads you to is going to be incredible.
Well, he has the blueprint. He has all the tools. He has, you know, all the supplies you need to build the godly home that he's asking you to build. But you wouldn't just go, I got this plot of land, I'm just going to start building stuff here, I'm not going to check with anybody else, I'm just doing this. It would fall apart. So please consult God and ask him every day how he wants you to be living together in holy matrimony and in your family life.
All right. We're taking your calls after the break at 877-573-7825. Continuing our conversation about dealing with family conflict and chaos when More to Life continues right after this. Hey, Catholic parents, could you use a break? Parenting is hard, especially at this time of year, and burnout can steal the joy right out of family life.
Join us, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for a free webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio titled Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout.
Discover practical, faith-filled ways to recharge your batteries and reclaim the joy of parenting. Register today at AveMariaRadio.net. Don't miss it. Your family's worth it.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers here, and I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Pandemonium, as we talk about the conflict and chaos that family life often brings or is affected by. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Before we go to our next call, I just wanted to ask you a question. What's stopping you from either becoming Catholic or being a more informed Catholic? Well, Dr. David Anders has the answers. Tune in to Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders Wednesday afternoons at 2 p.m.
No, weekday afternoons. Every weekday.
I apologize. Weekday afternoons at 2 p.m. Eastern with encore broadcasts every evening at 11 p.m. Eastern time on EWTN Radio. And you can hear and see Dr. David Anders as he takes calls from fallen away and non-Catholics Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN TV.
I'll tell you what, I even love the questions that he answers for Catholics who just want to go deeper. Dr. David Anders is brilliant, and I've never seen him be thrown by any question ever.
He's amazing. So again,
wonderful show to watch or listen to.
Weekday afternoons, 2 p.m. Eastern with encore broadcasts evenings at 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio, and check out the TV show Saturday afternoons, 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN TV. With that, let's go to our calls. Lisa, who's up next?
We're talking now with Nick, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oregon.
Nick, welcome to More to Life. What's going on, man?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. We've had behavioral difficulties with my oldest son for a number of years now, and it kind of came to a head last night. He was being mercilessly cruel, teasing one of his younger sisters, wouldn't respond to discipline, wouldn't go in his room, tried, you know, talking about punishments, tried other things, nothing would work. He just kept chasing her around, telling us when we tried to discipline him, he just talked back, insults us. And it got to the point where we finally kind of followed up on something we'd been talking about, which is that he had to go stay with his grandparents for the night because he was just unmanageable and wouldn't listen. And my parents came over. They were perfectly fine with it. He seemed upset, but, you know, oddly enough, willingly went with them, which he wasn't willing to do on other occasions. And, you know, it brought peace to the house. We were able to put the kids to bed. We have five other kids besides him. And I don't know, we're kind of questioning whether we did the right thing or not. We want to make sure he comes back, you know, that he does his schoolwork, you know, the next day, that sort of thing. And just wanted some advice.
Sure. Well, I want to thank you for reaching out with your question. And I'm sorry that that's happened to you. And I'm sorry that things have been going poorly for a while. And we'll offer some thoughts here and then some resources to be able to follow up. You know, look, I mean, you all needed a break. It was fine to kind of do that once, but I would really recommend not making that a habit because it sends a message to kids, two things. One, it sends the message that there will come a point where you can behave in a certain way where I will abandon you. And secondly, it sends the message to the kid that if you act crazy enough, then I will send you someplace where you can pretty much do what you like and not have to worry about us. So it ends up rewarding the behavior and undermining your attachment.
And it also sends the message to your child, I'm not big enough or strong enough or smart enough to handle you and this situation, which is not true, Nick. You are the grown-up, your wife is the grown-up, and you just need better skills in dealing with him. So he needs to know that there will be limits set on him, but don't be threatening to send him to the grandparents all the time because you're actually undermining your own power.
Now, again, you all needed the break. It was fine to do that once. I'm not condemning what you did. Everybody was crazy. You needed that kind of respite, and it's fine. But let's not make that a habit. So here's what you need to do instead. Okay, based on what you're describing, and I completely understand that what's happening is, you know, your son misbehaves. Then you try to correct him. He pushes back. Then you kind of come back with a punishment. And then he reacts to that punishment. And then you pile on something else. And then he comes back and fights you more. And then you pile on something. And it escalates, escalates, escalates. Because as parents, we're afraid that if we don't confront that kind of misbehavior with kind of a powerful response, then we'll just reward the behavior. Ironically, and this is true for some kids even more than others, the more we pile on, the more they push back. What really needs to, what you're describing here is a situation where your son especially, but I think everybody's emotional temperature got too high. And when that happens, your thinking brains go offline and you just start reacting to each other. And there's nothing you can do about that, all right? Humor me here, okay? I want you to take your right hand, okay? Tuck your thumb into your palm and make a fist with your fingers over your finger. Now, this is called the hand-brain model. So your thumb is tucked into your palm and your four fingers are over your thumb. Now, that represents your brain, okay? Now, I want you to turn your hand so that your fingernails are pointing toward your face. You with me? Okay. So the four fingers represent your thinking brain. That's your cortex. As your emotional temperature increases, adrenaline and cortisol drips into your bloodstream, and it starts to cause the screws that are holding those four fingers down, your cortex down, to get loose. Your screws get loose. And your fingers start to lift. Go ahead and lift your fingers up off of your thumb so that they're straight up now. You have now flipped your lid, and your thumb, your limbic system, your emotional brain, is now in charge. Your thinking brain is offline. Your emotional brain is in charge. This is where your son goes, and then you guys go to that same place, and now you're just reacting off of each other, okay? Mom and Dad, well, then I'm going to do this. Oh, yeah, son, well, I'm going to do that. And you just spin out.
Lost it.
Right? So nothing anybody does to try to impact a solution when you are in that flipped lid place with your limbic system in charge will work. All you're doing is reacting. So at some point, you have to step back and say, look, none of this is working. We need to all calm down. What do we need to do to just take a deep breath, to come together in prayer, to really figure out how we're going to handle this? And so you make a stop, and you say, come here. Let's just all sit down and take. And if you won't sit down, that's okay. You bring the kid that he was tormenting over to you, and you all cuddle together, and you let him be over there, and we're all just going to sit here, and we're going to all cuddle together and take care of each other. Well, you go there and be crazy if you want, but whenever you're ready, you come and sit with us, and we're going to work this out together. Because you're not going to turn this into a power struggle. Why are you not going to turn this into a power struggle? Because you have all the power, right? But you forget that when you flip your lid. As soon as our cortex goes offline, parents feel like, well, I don't have any power. This little 12-year-old monster is running the show. But that's because we forget that we have other things we can do. I don't know if you were a kid, I don't know what they're called now, right? But when I was a kid, they called them Chinese handcuffs. I know that's not an appropriate name, but that's what it's. You put them in a tube, put your fingers in a tube,
yeah.
And if you pulled your fingers apart, the tube would tighten around your fingers harder and harder and harder. And to get your fingers out, you actually had to push your fingers together to loosen the tube, and then they would come out. Well, that's what you need to do in this situation. Instead of piling on another punishment and then saying, you're going to behave badly, here's another punishment. And if you do this, then you're going to have to go to your grandparents. You're going to have to step back and say, all right, you know what? This is crazy. I'm not doing this. I'm not playing this game. We're all going to sit over here, and we're going to hold your sister so you don't torment her anymore. And when you're calm, you can come over and be with us too. Then we're going to talk about what is he trying to do by behaving this way? What's his intention? What is the situation he can't handle well?
You're not guessing. You're actually asking.
What were you hoping would happen by acting like this? What were you trying to? What were you upset about with your sister? Or what were you trying to make happen by behaving this way? Let's talk that out. Once you figure that out, then it's okay. Let's talk about better ways you can do that. So you're teaching him healthier ways to meet the intention that he's trying to meet by behaving badly, instead of just assuming that he's out to get you all. Because that's a common assumption that parents make. My kid is behaving badly because they're just strong-willed and they're little monsters, and so we need to pile on the stuff. But really, they're behaving badly because they don't know what else to do. And if we can step back long enough and calm things down, get everybody's thinking brain back online, then we can say, well, let's talk through this. What was your intention here? What was the situation you couldn't handle well, the thing you were trying to make happen? Then let's talk about how else we can make that happen. What do we need to do instead to actually get your intention met that would work? Then you rehearse it. That's the next step. So if there was something he was trying to communicate to his sister, you actually role play it. If there's something he needs from you, you actually role play it. You actually physically practice it. Because why? You are trying to teach your son healthier ways to meet the intention.
And you're trying to give him the muscle memory with the practice so that when he starts to get, you know, emotionally elevated, he remembers the practice that he had. It's not just your words or a discussion. It's actually in his muscle memory.
What we're talking about here is an approach that was developed by St. John Bosco. We call discipleship discipline. It's also been validated by tons of research since. And we teach this on the Catholic Home app. If you're interested in learning more and getting the kind of ongoing coaching to make this kind of thing work, you can download the Catholic HOM app and get that coaching and support, plus tons of creative resources to help you make this work.
It's also in our book, Parenting with Grace. So he's probably 12. So
Parenting your teens and tweens with Grace. So you can check that out at CatholicCounselors.com. And if you'd like more personalized support, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com as well. But Nick, the good news is this is very solvable. Pretty quickly, too, if you get the right support and the right tools. So please follow through with the suggestions we've made, but reach out for the additional support so that we can get this family back online, either Catholic Home app or CatholicCounselors.com. Folks, thanks so much for tuning in. We wish you all the best in healing your family life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.